live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron. radio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 21st day of January 2026. I have never had a guest so displeased with the topic choice I presented to him to discuss on my program as has occurred with my dear friend for many years, in fact, decades, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Dr. White was invited by me to be on this program to discuss the recent debate slash dialogue that Joel Webbin had on the theme of interracial marriage, something that Joel Webbin is opposed to. And this evoked a large measure of disgust on the part of Dr. White to even address this subject, but he did acquiesce to cover it for at least the first half of our show. And then in the latter half, we will be discussing upcoming debates and speaking engagements on Dr. White's calendar. But in the small possibility that there are listeners who don't know who Dr. White is, Dr. James R. White is a world-renowned Christian apologist with Alpha and Omega Ministries, New Testament Greek scholar, seasoned debater, author of numerous books, highly sought-after conference speaker, and one of four pastors at Apologia Church of Mesa, Arizona. And he is the professor of apologetics and church history at Grace Bible Theological Seminary in Conway, Arkansas. And today he's going to be addressing a review of Joel Webbin's recent debate and disturbing views on interracial marriage and upcoming events on James White's traveling calendar. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. James R. White.
Well, it's good to be with you, Chris. And I tried to hide my distaste as best I could, but evidently not well enough. So there you go.
Well, it's not exactly something that brings merriment to the heart to address a topic like this. But if you could, for the much more likely scenario that there are listeners in my audience who are totally unaware of who Joel Webbin is. In fact, I have brought him up often in conversation with brothers in Christ, and they do not know who he is. So why don't you please give a summary of what you know about Joel Webbin?
Well, I don't have a bio in front of me. Basically, he had contacted me a few years ago, asked me to be on a webcast. He recorded our conversation before we actually got started and ended up using it, and that caused some problems. But, you know, at first I was like, well, here's a zealous young guy. I generally don't sit around and try to do some type of deep dive into someone's past or history. And we got along on the program. He calls himself Reformed Baptist and We discussed, actually, interestingly enough, we discussed a subject that he has now switched on, which is not unusual. He's switching on all sorts of things these days. And then he invited me to come out to his conference in Georgetown, Texas. It's in the Austin area, to speak at a conference together with my friend Joe Boot and with Ezra Institute. And I'm a fellow with the Ezra Institute. So I was like, yeah, that's something that we could do. I was able to make it work out with other traveling plans that I had. As you know, I don't fly, so I took the took an RV out there, and it was an enjoyable conference. Mainly, I mean, from the people that I got to talk to, there were a lot of excited folks. I spoke from Acts about Paul and his ministry to Felix and Festus both. But during his imprisonment and his appealing to the law of God and a few things like that. Now, in hindsight, I do recall, and at the time I just thought it was sort of, I don't know. I mean, I'm friends with Chris Arnzen and he's got all sorts of issues. In hindsight, I can look back at all sorts of things and go, yeah, whoa, wow, okay. Yeah. but at the time, now looking back at it, I'm starting to realize we would have like audience questions, or I forget exactly how the questions were submitted. But so you're sitting there and you've got two guys that you've brought in from outside that are your main speakers, me and Joe Boo. And people would ask a question. And I remember very clearly looking at Joe at one point. I just sort of looked over at him and I caught his eye and he just sort of looked at me because we couldn't get a word in edgewise. It was clearly, 70% him speaking, and Joe and I are just sitting there going, I guess he feels that everyone's come here to hear him speak. And so he does like to hear himself speak. And at the time I didn't give it much thought other than, you might want to rethink that in the future when you're bringing people in and sort of let them speak. But since then it started to make sense. What happened, and I'm not going to, I don't want to relitigate all this stuff, but what ended up happening was the entire Joel Webbin, Tobias Riemenschneider saga.
Yeah.
And the stuff in reference to a meme that was mocking the Holocaust and mocking the idea of the Holocaust. And that blew up into this big, huge thing that didn't go well for anybody, really. It was handled over way too long a period of time, and it's probably not good to have stuff that's intercontinental as far as stuff going on in Germany and the United States and all the rest of that kind of stuff. And we started to see Pastor Webbin gravitating toward more and more toward this same group of the White Boy Summer stuff. And then they had a Trash World conference in April of last year. And I said sometime, I think in December of 24, I said by April, the lines are going to be much more clearly drawn because of the people who are speaking at this Trash World conference. And then by the end of 2025, the lines would be very clearly drawn. And that has really proven to be the case. There has been a major swing in emphasis, perspective, belief. That I mentioned that the first webcast I did, I think it was the only webcast I did with Joel Webbin, one of the things we were talking about was Thomism and the Thomistic resourcement and all the rest of this stuff coming into reform circles. And he was straight on with me. He's now on the other side. Now, I can guarantee you he has not done any study whatsoever on the metaphysical, philosophical stuff that is related to Thomas Aquinas and his influence in reform circles these days and things like that. But the people that he has now gravitated toward, Stephen Wolf, people like this, are very much into that perspective, natural law, natural theology stuff. And so, you know, boom, just change his perspective overnight, even though he's sort of famous for having said that he can't really comment on the Holocaust because it would take 10,000 hours of serious study to come to a conclusion. Well, he's evidently been spending 30, 40, 50,000 hours on all the stuff that he's changed his perspectives on in this period of time. He evidently recently got some funding, got some sponsorships, and he has, and this is the real toxic element of this. He has now joined forces with a former pastor, founder of Protestia, Jordan Hall. And that's, when I say toxic, that's about as toxic as you can get. As far as J.D. Hall's behavior toward people, just a completely imbalanced individual. They've just now co-authored a book, and I think it's, came out just a few weeks ago, The Hyphenated Heresy of Judeo-Christianity. And it's, I think it's simply called The Hyphenated Heresy. And it's a book, a 250-page book, that is all about how Judeo-Christianity is this terrible, horrible thing. It's this cult, and it's a heresy. And it's like, what are you people even talking about? There is no religion of Judeo-Christianity. No one's trying to say you can have Judaism and Christianity and that they're the same thing, or that you can mix them together, or any of this kind of stuff. And I know what a lot of it is. It's an anti-dispensationalist thing. And yeah, it's so easy. It is embarrassing to see who's the former governor of Arkansas, Huckabee. And I think isn't he the ambassador to Israel right now?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. It's embarrassing to see some of this stuff and to see people running over there and putting on Jewish garb and talking about feast days and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's easy to shoot at. But even they are not trying to say there is a religion called Judeo-Christianity. To use that phraseology, Judeo-Christian, that's been used for decades for the places where Jewish theology and theology interfaces with Christianity because we have the same Old Testament. And so it was just used as a descriptor where there is commonality for monotheism or the fact that man's made in the image of God or something like that. So now that there's this wild-eyed, the Jews are behind everything stuff going on all over the place. And it's in our churches. It's in our schools. These people are grabbing on to the fact that there's a lot of weird stuff happening in the world. And so people are trying to find reasons to be mad about this or mad about that or whatever. And I even had to recently on The Dividing Line, I don't know if you heard that particular program or not, but I had to sit there and go, hey, let me, you know, I'm literally having people saying that I'm being paid by Mossad, that I'm on the Israeli payroll. Are you people nuts?
And I thought it was the Vatican.
That's true. Tell me what account it's going into, because I would like to find out, you know, because I don't see it in my regular bank account, But I had to sit here and go, folks, let me tell you something. Let me define where I am as far as the nation of Israel and stuff like that. And, you know, I I have serious questions about what happened with all that stuff. What was it, October 8th or whatever the date was? I said within 2 days of that happening, I said, man, this seems weird. This Israel has their finger on everybody's pulse. They've got spies everywhere. These are the people that pulled off the pager attack.
Right.
You know, I mean, that took chutzpah, you know, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, and all of a sudden they somehow got invaded like this right when an election was coming up that it didn't look like Netanyahu was going to win. And now how long has he been in power since then? 2.5 years. Without any questions about it at all. I'm just sort of like, this really smells rotten to me. I don't know. I'm not over there. But man, there seems to be some reason to be concerned about what's really going on. And so I'm no big. I mean, I was only in Israel once. I only got to go one time in 2018. And I really enjoyed the brief time I was there. But it was very obvious to me, this is a very secular nation. They're very pro LGBTQ and stuff like that. I mean, they were during COVID, they were absolutely authoritarian in the shots and all the rest of the stuff that they did. So I'm not a big fan of Israel in that sense. I think they have the right to exist, and they're certainly better than the Iranians. Okay, so you got that, I suppose, but I'm just not one of these people that is going to be invited by the ambassador to go to Jerusalem and do weird stuff. So with that, all that stuff going on, once you start playing around, palling around with people who did the white boy summer stuff, and I mean, you're dancing right on the edge of neo-Nazism, and to jump into, you know, the hyphenated heresy and I'm not, you know, we don't really know about the Holocaust and da 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 da. It's just so obvious where he and his ilk have been going, that it's scary. It really, really is. And of course, there's relationship between Joel Webin and the folks up in Ogden, Brian Salve, Eric Kahn, Refuge Church up in Ogden, Utah. I would like to hope that the Ogden guys would start making some clear differentiations, because the stuff that Webin's getting into now with this, well, this interracial marriage isn't God's design. But, and in fact, Chris, the thing is, did you hear the debate that I had with Corey Mahler?
Yes.
Okay.
Corey Mahler, just so our listeners know who may not be familiar with him, is an excommunicated Lutheran who is a full-blown, open Nazi sympathizer and racist, unlike Webin, who clouds the issues more than Corey Mahler. Corey Mahler is very proud of being a Nazi sympathizer and racist.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's straightforward all the way. And it's interesting to see the tension that has developed between the Webinites and Stonechoir. And it's primarily based on the reality that Stonechoir realizes they have competition now. No, seriously.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And I've had people describe the movement that is with Webin and the others as Timu Stonechoir. So it's the cheap, the cheap IKEA version of Stonechoir, because when you listen to the opening presentations in the discussion / dialogue / not really a debate, because they, you know, they had 10 minutes, 10 minutes, and they had 2 5-minutes and a 10 minute, and because they weren't even numbers of people. When you listen to those presentations, especially after Webin's presentation, so his his minions that were doing the other part, especially one of them, I couldn't tell the difference between listening to Corey Mahler and Stone Choir talking about race, nations, all this kind of stuff. They're repeating this, the exact same stuff. Now, the other side, they're Rislon and God Logic, they're in the Bible. They've got the Bible open. They're talking about scriptures, and they're talking about the church, which transcends national borders and union in Christ and all the rest of this kind of stuff. But what you're hearing from the other side is, well, racial purity stuff. It's, well, I want my grandchildren to look like me. Well, you know, I want my grandchildren to be Christians. Whether they look like me or not is not the issue in any way, shape, or form. Never has been. And yet for these folks, yeah, that is exactly what it is. And so they're very much into the, this is a white nation and, you know, so they ignore all the distinctions. You know, anybody who knows history knows that when the Irish came over, they had problems. When the Italians came over, they had problems. You know, when all these quote unquote white groups immigrated, there would be waves of immigration due to, you know, the potato famine and all the rest of that kind of stuff. They would, I mean, there were people who died because of the well, I guess we'd call it ethnic tensions that existed between these supposedly white people that are now, you know, becoming a minority here in the United States. And so what they're doing, I think everybody needs to understand what they're doing is they're tapping into real issues. There is every reason to be disgusted with the socialist traitors that have, in essence, taken over our nation. I mean, there's every reason to go, yeah, it really seems like there is a very purposeful, intentional demonization of people groups. Yeah, they are trying to tear the social fabric apart of our nation. They have opened the borders. They've invited invasion. And now look at what they're doing. They got the invasion for years under the Biden regime, and now they're doing everything they can to make sure that army gets to stay here, including invading churches. When I listen to what's going on right now, it is unbelievable that this kind of, I mean, you and I, we're old codgers. We're so tired we can't even boom anymore. So, calling me a boomer indicates I have enough energy left to even think about it. But no, you know, in our day, when I first started becoming aware of politics, there wasn't enough difference between the Democrats and the Republicans in the final analysis of how they were going to do things to amount to a hill of beans. But now we have a divided nation. There are multiple nations existing within the borders of what's called the United States of America. And the very thin skin of societal cohesion is not going to last much longer. And in many ways, it's not lasting now. When you have people invading churches and then defending that, calling the people in the church white supremacists, when you have governors and mayors encouraging people, they want more martyrs. They want more people to die. They want more rammings. They want more shootings. They want more violence. It's frightening days. And so it's real easy for people to tap into the frustration and, yeah, even the anger that exists in the United States right now for their own purposes, to promote themselves, to promote some strange, weird thing. And really the whole subject of interracial marriage, where in the world did that even come from? How is that supposed to be specifically a central issue? Are somebody saying that's what's causing the problems in the United States? We have abortion. We have the LGBTQ movement. We have transgenderism. And you're somehow going to say that interracial marriage should even be on the table? That's one of the, that was the thing, honestly, when you asked me about it, that I'm just sort of like, oh, there are so many major issues. And these folks are trying to make it look like this is some big, massive thing. Now, my understanding is that the two guys that were opposing them, I guess God Logic is in a quote unquote mixed ethnicity race, and Ruslan is Armenian, not Armenian, Armenian. And most people don't know the difference. And so they have something specifically, you know, to say to something.
Like, yeah, Ruslan's wife is black and he is white.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Yeah.
So they've all got, you know, that type of situation they're dealing with. And so, okay, it's great to have a meaningful conversation, but this conversation is not taking place in some scholarly realm or some, this conversation is taking place in the middle of a movement that is filled with young men who have decided that they are going to present white supremacy. They're going to present National Socialism. They're going to say we were on the wrong side in World War II. And that is the immediate context in which this stuff is being discussed, and you can't separate it out. They want to try to, and be able to, you know, do the Mott Bailey thing. Oh, no, we're not really talking about that right now. No. This is a movement where you are seeking to polarize people. You're seeking to get clicks. You're seeking to get followers. And that's the whole motivation behind all of it. Not on one side. I'm not saying on the part of Ruslan and God Logic. In fact, I think if I'm remembering this correctly, I think I'm going to double check this during the break. But I'm pretty sure that I will be debating with him, not on the same side, but at the same event in just a couple of weeks. I'm going to double check that during the break and make sure that that I'm right about that.
Okay, we are going to a break right now. And if you, the listener, have any questions, please submit them to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are in a church that has genuinely racist ideology present, perhaps even from the pulpit, and you don't want to identify yourself because that would, in essence, also identify the church. We understand that, and things like that would compel you to remain anonymous. But if it's a general question on the scriptures, on church history, on this specific debate, please give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace, through faith, in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. The Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Welcome back, and if you just tuned us in, our guest today is Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and he is evaluating, reviewing the recent debate that Joel Webbin had, in which Joel Webbin was opposing interracial marriage on the grounds that it is not keeping with the normative design of God. If you have a question, submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We do have some questions coming in, but I will refrain momentarily from asking those. I do have some more questions of my own. And James, but unless people wrongly think that if they watch this debate, they're going to see in Joel Webbin a fire-breathing grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan, just, you know, throwing around the N-word and being openly and clearly and proudly racist, they're going to be mistaken. That's actually, I think, a part of the problem, is that he, in this exchange, unlike many of his podcasts when he is not with an opponent of his, he's extremely charming, he's humorous, he's warm, welcoming, friendly. And his premise, which is very confusing to me, as I've already mentioned, is that in his opinion, and in the, obviously the opinion of his church and the allies that he had, the two allies that he had on the panel, and the brother of interracial parents, is mind-boggling, because it makes me wonder, does he believe that he should not legitimately exist, having a parent of two different skin colors? But he is making the claim that this is not a part or in keeping with God's normative design, but it's not a sin. Can you explain that? Because I just do not understand that. How you could have something that you are trying to prohibit, especially as a professing Christian minister, you're trying to prohibit it not only in your own congregation, but as a part of a movement nationally. You want to bring an end to interracial marriage. Now, how could you be taking a platform like that without declaring that it's sin to be involved in interracial marriage? I don't get it.
Well, and a lot of people don't get it, and I don't get it either. I'm not professing to there's when you're looking at someone like Joel Webbin, you're looking at someone who is, as he said at one point, he said he was sort of making reference possibly to me. You know, I haven't changed in 20 years. Blah, blah, blah. Well, that means you haven't grown. You haven't been sanctified. No, we're talking about, are you blown about by every wind of doctrine? And the number of changes in his positions, he admitted one of them on the program, The changes in his positions are coming fast and furious, and they're all going the same direction, which shows he doesn't have a foundation. That foundation has crumbled, it's cracked, and he's willing to make these types of changes. So if you're looking for a consistent position on his part, you're not going to be able to find it, because it's just, it's not there. And the speed at which he's developing right now, I think the end of this year is going to once again show major quote unquote development. I would say further degradation from a historical orthodox position. And when it comes to this topic, you may have noticed there was a discussion of polygamy. He made the assertion that being a one-woman man as a requirement for an elder is only for elders, that is a evidently a higher standard. And, you know, throughout the very difficult pastoral issue of if you have a Muslim convert, or if you even have a fundamentalist Mormon convert, what do you do in those situations? As if those very unusual contexts have something to do with the fact that the reason that the elder is to be a one-woman man, that is, married to one woman, not a polygamist, is because that is to be the norm. I mean, it's the same apostle that uses the marriage relationship as a symbol of the relationship of Christ to his church. In fact, amazingly, my fellow elder Jeff Durbin pointed out the multi-ethnicity of the bride of Christ, tribe, tongue, people, and nation, every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And Webbin's co-author, J.D. Hall, and Webbin himself both rejected that analogy from Pastor Durbin, saying that would make Christ a polygamist or something. It was again amazing the twistedness of the thinking. But the issue really is you end up with this strange mixture of formerly orthodox perspectives that are morphing, they're changing, because once you tag into this audience that he's seeking to keep going and keep clicking and keep supporting and keep giving him money and so on, once those are the people you're shooting for, they always want something new. They're never going to let you stop. You always have to be coming up with something more edgy, something more controversial. I warned him of this. He knows I warned him of this. On the phone, personal conversation, I warned him that the people he was courting would lead to his downfall. And I don't know if you heard what came out last night and this morning from Joel Webbin.
No.
I'm going to play it for you.
Okay.
It should come across pretty well. They did a program. Of course, he's doing programs all the time. This new NXR, which, by the way, NXR is New Christian Right, which he's doing with J.D. Hall. And he's got a sponsor, and so he's got money, and so he's cranking stuff out. But they were talking about the debate/dialogue. And look, I've done a lot of debates, okay? I've got more coming up, but I've done 200. And I've seen, and you can remember over the years, Chris, some of the spin that some of our our debate opponents would throw at the subject after the debate was over.
In fact, and what I would most of the time also see, which was quite humorous, is that the Roman Catholics, because in those years that was predominantly what we were debating about, you had opponents that were Roman Catholic apologists, you would see like piranha in a frenzy devouring something, the Catholics attacking the apologist that was defending their position because he clearly lost, and they wanted to blame the apologist rather than the fact that he had an indefensible argument to defend.
Right. Yeah. Oh, there's the if you remember, the White Man's Burden was a, right. a Catholic Answers article and all this kind of stuff. So I've seen a lot of spin. All right. There's a lot of spin out there. I've never heard anything like what I'm about to play for you. It's just a short clip, but Joel's sitting there and he's talking with his compatriots that were the same. I'm assuming the same guys that were on the program with him. And he's explaining why 9 out of 10 people think that they lost the debate. And I want you to hear this. Here we go.
I'd say out of 10 people, 9 people who thought we lost the debate. If you follow their accounts and you know who those people are, probably about a 90 to 110 IQ. And then 1 out of 10,
very general,
who thought that we won the debate, also coincidentally happened to be guys with 130 IQ plus.
Did you hear that?
Yes. In fact, I did see that through a video Marcus Pittman posted on Facebook.
Yeah. 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 So here's the guy literally. And the thing is, he's being serious. That's the scary part. At least he looks like he's being serious. He's literally saying 9 out of 10 people, you look at their account, you know who they are, 90 to 110 IQ. And is one of his compatriots says that's being generous. And then the one that says we won, 130 IQ. And I had to listen to it a couple times to really believe what I was hearing, because I've never had a debate opponent in my experience that tried this one. If you just have a high enough IQ, you'd know I won. Okay.
And how he could possibly know the IQs of these people.
Well, that's just it. I even responded. Chris Roseborough posted it initially when I first saw it. And I was like, how dull am I that I did not know that all you have to do is look at someone's account on X and they're right there. They have IQ of 104. You know, I missed that all these years. How could this be? It's amazing.
And Marcus Pittman had a great spin on it. He said that Joel Webbin amazingly and refreshingly admitted that even an idiot could tell that he lost that debate.
Well, there you go. That would follow from what he just said. I mean, he's actually speaking seriously here, and yeah, that's the scary part to me. The scary part to me is here is a guy. Now, we've learned some stuff about his background that was troubling that I didn't know about when I spoke at the conference and stuff like that. But here's a guy, the church, ostensibly a Reformed Baptist church. I don't think it's going to remain that way for very long, given the directions he's going. I just don't think it can. But literally, seriously saying, you know, as long as your IQ is above 130 or so, which I guess is a claim on his part that his is, that you're going to know we won that debate. It wasn't a debate, of course. It was just a discussion. But that is frightening to me. That's why I say by the end of this year, I don't know that we're even going to be discussing him, at least in this type of a context, as a self-professing pastor. I can see him spinning off into some really wild stuff out there if he keeps, because he won't listen to anybody. There's no one left. He only has people around him who will encourage him, who will tell him, oh, you're great. Oh, you're wonderful. Oh, you're awesome. He's thrown off because many people that he once said were his theological heroes and mentors from which he had learned. All of us are going, Joel, wake up. You're riding toward a cliff at full speed here. And he won't listen. There's no one, in his context, I think, that can make him stop and consider. And in fact, the people he's hooking up with are only going to even more encourage him toward a radical conclusion.
Now, one thing that people, if they intend to watch this debate, they have to listen very carefully because they may be disarmed, as I was saying earlier, by the charming demeanor that Joel presents in this debate conversation. I didn't see the whole thing yet, but in the portions that I saw, he was just nothing but warm and friendly and even humorous. But very subtly, when he was asked if interracial marriage under the paradigm of Christian nationalism, should it be a crime punishable by death? And when he said no. But when he was asked, is it sin to believe that that is the case, that it should be punishable by death? He said, not necessarily. So, in other words, he is open to having kinship and allies that with people that are that much steeped in racism that they actually believe interracial marriage partners should be executed.
Well, again, you're looking at somebody who's got feet in two different worlds. He's transitioning from one world to another world. He's got to keep as many people happy as he possibly can. And people in that situation that are trying to build platforms and trying to get sponsors and do all the rest of stuff, they're not going to speak plainly. They're not going to speak consistently. He's given up on consistency. He admitted, well, you know, I've just developed. I'm just being sanctified. Okay. So that's what's giving rise to all of this. And eventually you get to a point where you cannot keep that kind of a coalition together. And you have to become more and more radicalized, like Corey Mahler has over the years. And you end up, I predict division appearing amongst these folks because you end up with a smaller and smaller group that's going to be willing to listen to this stuff as it gets crazier and crazier and crazier. And the problem is that means you're fighting competition. So people you used to work with become your competition. And that's going to end up resulting in a real mess down the road too.
Now, I don't know if you watched the interview that he had, meaning Joel Webbin, with Nick Fuentes. I didn't. But it seemed that the way it was advertised, it was a very warm and congenial and ironic kind of a conversation. Is that what you've seen or heard?
I only started listening to the first. I'm not paying money to watch this stuff in any way, shape, or form.
No, there's nothing for free available to watch that.
Well, I think it drops every Wednesday, so I think the next episode would have dropped today or something, unless you paid and you could watch all of it on Patreon or something like that. I am not going to give a dime to listen to either one of these guys. I have zero respect for either one of them as far as intellect and worldview is concerned. But what I saw, and I did see people immediately having AI analyze the conversation, and Webbin was always talking more. which given Nick Fuentes, if you can out talk Nick Fuentes, you're pretty talented. No two ways about it. But the one thing I did see is Fuentes is a complete hypocrite, because I've seen clips from his own webcast that were recorded since they recorded this, and he's just filthy. He drops F-bombs and stuff all over the place. He talks about just disgusting, perverse stuff all over the place, and that's not what he does when he's with Joel Webbin. So he can clean himself up and act like the scholarly type guy. But then when you listen to what he's really about, it's totally different. So Yeah. Clearly being used. Webben was clearly being used in that situation. And Webben thinks he's using Fuentes. He thinks he's going to tap into, you know, some of that audience. He's always looking for what audience can I get a portion of. That's what he's trying to build platform. He doesn't realize that since he's completely inconsistent, he'll never have a platform that'll be able to build and stay together.
And for our listeners who are unfamiliar with Nick Fuentes, he is openly racist, unashamed of it, anti-Semitic, admirer of Hitler and Stalin, and which is interesting that he would be admirer of both. Quite a despicable human being, very articulate, you know, that kind of a thing. But it's interesting, the allies that Joel Webben has chosen, because the issues that would define a Reformed Baptist and the issues that should be of most, the uttermost importance to a Christian, let alone a Reformed Baptist, seem to pale into insignificance when he is choosing people like Calvin Robinson and Nick Fuentes to be a part of his movement. And I'm not quite sure what Calvin Robinson thinks about the clear racism of Joel Webben being a black man, but it is interesting that he seems to shelve the things that Reformed Baptists have historically found most important.
Well, and again, there's a reason for that. He has made comments in the past that indicate to me that his convictions in regards to what makes a Reformed Baptist Reformed Baptist are very shallow and will not last very long. He wasn't raised within that. He was in a vineyard context. He has blown with the theological winds, whichever direction looked like there would be popularity and there would be a promise of an audience. And so I have no reason to believe that he will remain within that context for any lengthy period of time whatsoever.
All right, let me read a question from Duncan in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And Duncan asks, what is the primary danger you see from this ideology being proposed by Joel Webben?
Well, he's lost the ability to identify animus within the body. The very foundation of the equality of ethnicities, one body in Christ. Once you start playing around with mocking the Holocaust or blaming the Jews for everything, or we're on the wrong side with Hitler, oh, that's the post-war consensus, that's all it is, blah, 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 blah. They become a radical political movement that has theological overtones. And yet they're placing this within the language of the Christian faith. That's going to become more and more evident as time passes. Again, I'd say by the end of this year, what we're saying now will be tame in comparison to what we will be able to say at that point in time, because of the trajectory that he is absolutely evidently insistent upon being upon.
And also, just to add some more disturbing outbursts from Webben, was there not a, I'm not sure if she was a journalist of Jewish background who was recently told by Webben on Christmas Day or during the Christmas season, silence, Jew, it's Christmas. Tell us the background of that.
Yeah, no, actually, as far as I know, she her great sin is that she's a supporter of Israel. I don't believe she's Jewish. She's not a, I don't believe that she was a journalist, okay. Anything like that. So on Christmas Day, Joel Webbin posted and has defended it. Silence, Jew. It's Christmas. That's utterly indefensible on any level. Well, she had attacked me. One thing Joel Webbin has become an expert at is pretending to be a victim. He posts this kind of stuff. He posted a couple, a week and a half ago. The average Christian woman on social media is a retard.
Yes.
Okay.
He brought that up in the debate as well.
He did. Yeah. And he will defend these things. He's doing that on purpose so he can then play the victim card. Don't for a second when he's, people have just been so mean to me and said so. It's completely performance art. There's no substance to it whatsoever. And so, yeah, I mean, how you defend that, it does make you wonder. You'd think that the members of his church follow all this stuff. They'd be aware of it. But I found out that's not necessarily the case. I can think of a church here in Arizona where a lot of the people in the congregation have no idea the radical positions that the pastor takes in social media forays and webcasts and stuff like that. They just don't follow it. They don't keep up with it. So you do sort of wonder what it would be like to be a Christian woman in that church.
And we have Timothy in Fremont, California, ask James why he believes there is anti-Semitism in general. I'm not 100% sure what he means by this question, but maybe he means what is the cause of this in modern times, or why should we believe it exists, maybe? I'm not really sure what he means.
Yeah, I don't know. There's all different kinds and forms, and what has happened in this situation is where we've got people talking about the Talmud, and Doug Wilson said that you can find exegetical insights in the Talmud after he had said that most of it's, you know, anti-Christian and all the rest of that kind of stuff. So people are literally saying that since I know Doug, that means I'm promoting the Talmud and all the rest of this guy's. I mean, just pure insanity. So there's different kinds. There's political. The vast majority of politically powerful Jewish individuals today are not religious. They're not following the Talmud. They could care less. I mean, like I said, Tel Aviv is one of the most gay-friendly cities in the world. That has nothing to do with the Talmud. So it's real easy to shift and dodge and oh, there's this terrible statement in the Talmud, and then run off and talk about somebody that has never read the Talmud, doesn't have anything to do with it. It allows you to sort of morph into whatever you want to get the audience that you want to get. But anyways, so Chris, I'm sitting here looking at the clock. Have you changed your scheduling?
Yes, we are no longer on Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida, so we do not have to keep exactly to their time segments anymore.
Oh, there's okay.
There's a little bit more freedom there. And one more thing from Timothy in Fremont, California. By the way, I'm a little older than James, but I identify as 31. but it just is not reality. When is James coming to California? Thanks for your ministry.
Never. Not if I can help it. Seriously. For that very reason, I have no trust in the legal system in many states in the United States now. So, and since I drive, and that means I have to, you know, be a slow moving target. Yeah, no. When people ask, I go, well, sorry, I used to do that all the time, but, not heading that direction anytime that I can think of. It would be something really, really, really unusual that would cause me to do that.
All right. Well, to wrap things up for this part of the program that you had to conduct like ripping off a Band-Aid, we have to remember the seriousness of the sin of thinking more highly of oneself than you ought, as we are warned not to do in Romans 12:3. Do you have anything else to conclude? Because some might be thinking, oh, this isn't so much of a big deal. I'm Italian, and my husband's Italian, and we want Italian in-laws when our children get married, and we want Italian American grandkids, and so what's the big deal, and that kind of a thing. You know, people might be fluffing it off as something irrelevant or just less serious than we are warning about.
Well, yeah, this is a movement within the church that's using theological language to inculcate racial animus, bring division, to, in essence, really, I think, in many ways, damage the witness of the church as we seek to reach out to people outside of our own communities. It really makes the church look inward toward itself, and try to make us all look homogenous. And instead of the beauty of a church that is exemplified in the New Testament as being made up of men and women from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation that are, look, and like I said before, I want my grandchildren to know Christ. Amen. And if they have a mixed ethnicity, that I've told the story about why that is absolutely empty to me many times in the past. My first best friend, his dad was a big black, ironically, Minneapolis cop. And his mom was almost albino white. And that was the first best friend I had. And the first family outside of my own family that I really knew about who they were. So all this stuff about, well, you're ending your bloodline and blah, 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 all this stuff, it just makes me want to vomit. It really does. And the people promoting it, I find to be extremely shallow. And I just think that people who get into this are going to end up either leaving your church or trying to split your church. They really will. If you end up reaching out, for example, like we do to Muslims or to people like that, that look different, that's something we have to be able to do. And anyways, there you go.
Yes. And just one note that occurred to me a number of months ago. When it comes to Webin and his ilk denying the Holocaust, one of the reasons why it's insane to take that position, obviously we have reams of film footage of what has occurred, what had occurred in the Nazi death camps. That's obvious, a huge proof that Webin is dead wrong or lying. But it occurred to me months ago, you know who never made the arguments that Webin is making? The Nazis at the Nuremberg trial, who are being accused of being the engineers of the Holocaust. They never made those claims that Webin was making. They were just saying that they were following the orders. So, I mean...
Well, I have not heard Joel Webin specifically deny that anything like the Holocaust took place. He's always asking, well, you know, we don't know the post-war consensus. Hitler was bad. The numbers seem inflated. La, 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 la. Now, will that change? Will eventually he just go, oh, yeah, this is just all made up? I don't know. I don't know. Whatever helps get the audience, from my perspective, is probably what he's going to do.
Well, he diminished a denial of the Holocaust as being irrelevant and not a serious thing. That's what really am.
Yeah. That obviously is a big issue. And by the way, I just got a text message from Kelly, and she says, say hi to Chris for me.
Well, hi, Kelly. And let me just read one more question before going to the midway break, since it's on Webin, and we are supposed to be concluding our discussion on this. Andrew in Brooklyn, New York. For me, all debate about whether God accepts interracial marriage or not ends with Genesis, when Joseph married an Egyptian woman who was the daughter of an Egyptian priest. The thing that disgusts me most about Webin is his obsessive hatred of what he calls Talmudic Judaism. The last time I checked, Talmudic Judaism did not plunder the people of Minnesota or turn Lower Manhattan into a parking lot. Thank you, Dr. White, for your fight against this new threat to the Bride of Christ. So it was really comments, not a question.
Right.
Well, thank you, Andrew. And we are going to our midway break. And if you'd like to join us with a question on Dr. White's upcoming speaking schedule or anything about Dr. White's ministry and debates he's had and things he's written about and so on, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Truck and Zion Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management. Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. 3355 or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the Secure Comm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, Valentine's Day is right around the corner, so why not buy someone you love a stunning, breathtaking, head-turning piece of jewelry from royaldiadem.com, and in doing so, you will be simultaneously getting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a Valentine's Day gift. Because when you purchase jewelry from royaldiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits from that sale. So whether you are purchasing jewelry that they already have in stock, or whether you're having a one-of-a-kind, customized, and designed piece of jewelry created, whatever the case may be, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making the purchase at royaldiadem.com, we get 100% of the profits. And I happen to know that my guest today, Dr. James R. White, is buying me a Christmas present. He's having the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio logo designed into a necklace pendant the size of a dinner plate, solid gold studded with diamonds. But seriously,
no, Chris, I'm sorry. you didn't get my Christmas present. It's a gift card to a tattoo shop there in Carlisle. they're gonna put the logo on your left shoulder. So there you go.
Well, thank you for that. I forgot all about that. But keep in mind, folks, that RoyalDiadem.com. loves this program so much that they already automatically every single month finance this program with a very generous gift every single month. But on top of that, they are giving us this mind-blowing bonus of 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry. So go to royaldiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my conversation with Dr. James R. White, I want to remind you that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has recently lost two of our major advertisers, one of which was a local Christian bookstore that had been blessing the body of Christ globally for 50 years, over 50 years, with the finest in Christian literature at very reasonable prices. And tragically, they had to permanently closed their doors about 2.5 months ago now, and we lost that very valuable source of income. And as I said, we lost another major advertiser. There's a third one that we may lose that we know of, and we're still waiting for another to renew a contract, and we're not certain if they will. So we need your help to replenish and replace that lost income. Please, if you love the show, go to irontrippinsironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail, sending a check from your post office to a physical mailing address, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at irontrippinsironradio.com. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice like a law firm, a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. And keep in mind, with all this talk about the urgent need we have for your financial help, I never want anybody in my audience to give their own church less money than they normally give their own church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. In other words, please never cut into the finances that you have specifically set aside exclusively for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us. Never do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a gift. However, having said that, if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us so we can continue into the future on the air. Go to irontrippinsironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Apologia Church in Mesa, Arizona, I have extensive lists spanning the entire globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people all over the planet Earth and our audience find churches that are biblically faithful, and sometimes even just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that could be you too. So if you're without a church home, no matter where you live in the world, please send me an email, chrisaronson@gmail.com, and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in your questions to Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, chrisaronson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. I do want to make an announcement, since our first half of the show was dealing largely with the sin of racism. On February 6th, which is a Friday, I am having a returning guest, Lowell Ivey, former white supremacist who was saved by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ in prison, where he was a white supremacist gang member. And the Lord delivered him from that wickedness and hatred, and led him to eventually be seminary educated and ordained in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. He is currently an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church in America and the director of Metanoia Prison Fellowship. He is going to be discussing kinism on the program. And Dr. White, could you provide for us a working definition for kinism?
No.
I mean, obviously, in general, it is the anti-miscegenation, obviously anti-interracial, normally has white supremacist overtones, even though, I mean, it wouldn't necessarily have to. But It has a lot of the same emphases that you see in these particular groups. And by the way, this just popped up on the screen. Iron sharpens iron, on the cutting edge of someone sitting here watching Twitter. So do you know Dr. Jordan Cooper, the Lutheran scholar?
Yes.
Yeah, good guy. We've sparred on baptism and stuff like that, you know, but he's a good, solid guy. He responded to that clip that we played just a little while ago. And here's what he wrote to Joel Webbin. He said, "Hey, Joel Webbin, since it apparently matters to you, it shouldn't. My IQ is over 130, and I think your arguments are almost unbelievably stupid." and you know what Webbin's response was?
What?
"Great, your IQ is over 130. Now share your T levels." Seriously, can you believe that?
So the level of testosterone in your blood would determine whether how much you despise people of other races.
I have no idea. All I can tell you is my year-end prediction is probably going to get blown right past. But hey, we're going to run out of time here pretty soon.
All right. So tell us about what's going on in the near future as far as your travels and your debates and speaking engagements.
Well, the first thing that I find really cool is we mentioned God Logic on the, who was on the program there. And I looked it up. And so coming up February 6th, Friday, February 6th, Gospel Truth Conference in Dallas, Texas. I am going to be doing a debate. And there's three debates that day. There's six total debates that they're going to have, the 6th and the 7th of February. I'm going to miss the last three. I'll tell you why. But at 10:20 a.m., Eli Ayala, a brilliant young guy.
Oh, I know Eli well. In fact, I'm the one that introduced him to you.
Yeah, Eli is really solid. He's going to be debating Dan Barker, Does God Exist? Now, Dan Barker, I've debated twice. Remember, he's the guy that objected to my quoting his own book to him.
Yeah.
So they're debating at 10:20. At 2:35, I'm debating Dr. Dustin Smith, who calls himself a biblical Unitarian. Does the Bible teach the Trinity? We haven't debated before. It should be a fairly ironic debate, I think. And then at 5:15 in the evening, Avery Austin, God Logic, is debating Jake Brancatella on the Islamic Dilemma. Now, I don't know if we called my discussion with Jake Brancatella a debate or not. We did it on the dividing line, so we probably didn't. But it's interesting that the three debates that day, the opponents to the Christian position, I've all debated them. And it's the first debate with Dustin Smith. So people can still come to that in the Dallas area. If anybody's listening in that area, they can still come to that Gospel Truth Conference 2026. And the next day, Leighton Flowers could be debating Jeremiah Nortier. Matt Slick's going to be debating Nader Ahmed, which will be an absolute slaughter because Nader Ahmed should never be allowed to debate. And Anthony Rogers could be debating Trent Horn. And of course, I've debated Trent Horn. I've debated Nader Ahmed. And I've debated Leighton Flowers. So it's the only person of all these people that I haven't already encountered is the guy I'm debating. So yeah, that's what happens when you do fair debates. And like I said, the debate with Dr. Dustin Smith, it's only 90 minutes long. We're not going to be able to get into a whole lot. I could tell you what both sides are going to say right now, to be honest with you. But maybe for folks that aren't aware of what the real issues are with Unitarianism, quote unquote conservative or biblical Unitarianism, it could be helpful along those lines. But I think all the debates would be interesting. The reason I'm not attending the next day is I'm rushing down to Baton Rouge from Dallas. It's a pretty long haul. And I'm going to be preaching at Brian Gunter's church down there.
This is a new church, right?
Yeah, Salem Reformed Baptist Church. It's not a new church. The Salem Reformed Baptist Church had existed for a long time. But when there was a rebellion of the deacons at Brian Gunter's church, and he was unceremoniously dumped, about at least 130 to 180 people left with him. And so what had been a small Reformed Baptist church is now a pretty decent sized Reformed Baptist church as far as Reformed Baptist churches are concerned. And so I just wanted to get down there and encourage them. And, you know, it takes me a lot farther from home and stuff, but that's okay. I want to do that. Brian's good. And last I heard, Brian is going to be debating on the annihilation issue with Chris Date sometime in March. I haven't got the details on that, but that's going to be important. That's a really important topic there.
Yes, it is. In fact, I would love to see somebody debate Chris on his belief in, he's a physicalist. He only believes that there will be a new earth. He doesn't believe in a spiritual realm called heaven.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that aspect of his position, but yeah. So anyways, the real big issue, having discussed all that, is I made an announcement last week. It's been something I've been working on for a number of months. You may recall that maybe early last year, it may have been late the year before, I attempted to contact Jay Dyer, who is a really interesting guy. I mean, he does a lot of strange stuff, but he's known as a person in social media that promotes Eastern Orthodoxy. And I tried to get a debate set up, or I suggested that we do a debate on a particular historical subject relevant to Eastern Orthodoxy. Well, his response was so childish and immature, it was astonishing. A lot of people were very embarrassed for him by the way he responded. And at that time, other people contacted me and said, well, you know, probably the guy you need to get to do a debate like this would be a guy named Craig Trulia. And so we got together, and it's taken a long time to work through the details and get a place put together. But we're going to be doing a debate October 17th of this year. And that seems like a long ways away. It doesn't seem like a long ways away for me, because this topic is going to require thousands and thousands of pages of reading on my part and a tremendous amount of preparation. It's going to be the main thing I'm doing the rest of this year, to be perfectly honest with you, and hopefully in preparation for a book as well. I haven't written a book in a long time.
No, I can't wait for that.
The topic, the thesis, is just thrilling. I mean, we obviously spent a tremendous amount of time making sure that we will not be able to have room for all the people that come to this thrilling debate. So here's the thesis statement. Veneration of icons as defined by the Second Nicene Council in 787 is apostolic.
Now, I know you're being sarcastic about that being excited, but I am excited by that. And as you know, not the same identical topic was my choice when you debated Patrick Madrid, but very close to it from a Roman Catholic perspective.
Yeah, yeah. But it's interesting. I've already been contacted by some people who work in this area, and they all get it. They understand that we chose the topic that you need to address, that has to be addressed. Because what people don't understand, and what evangelicals do not understand at all, is the reality that both Eastern Orthodoxy and Roman Catholicism both accept the Second Nicene Council in 787 as an ecumenical council. It's the seventh ecumenical council, and hence is infallible. And the authority claims of both Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy require the acceptance of that council. If that council was wrong, if it erred, if it was not infallible, then the claims of both systems are invalidated thereby. So by addressing this one issue, which has direct relevance to worship, I mean, you look at any Eastern Orthodox worship service, the icons are everywhere, it's central. They anathematize anyone who refuses to kiss and venerate the icon. Mm-hmm. So that's absolutely central to the very identity of Eastern Orthodoxy. by addressing this topic, you are really addressing both movements at the same time at a most foundational level. And I know most evangelicals don't know almost anything about Eastern Orthodoxy. I've avoided trying to get into it. Even when Hank Hanegraaff converted, I explained my reasoning then. It's very difficult to explain to evangelicals the mindset of Orthodoxy as it exists in the East, not necessarily here in the United States. But because of the surge of interest, the number of people that are, you know, will contact us and they're seeking information. And as you know, Jason Wallace up at Christ Presbyterian Church in Magna, Utah, they've produced some great videos on the subject.
Excellent.
That are on YouTube and stuff like that. But still, I felt this subject required someone with expertise in church history, apologetics, and probably the biblical language as well, because we're going to have to deal with the truo, proskuneo, all these types of things too. And I'm like, well, that's what I've spent my life doing. I teach church history. I teach apologetics. I'm published in these areas. So this is, I think, what I really need to do. Now, obviously, in opposition to many people today that we've talked about who are constantly trying to build platforms and get clicks, this is not the subject that's going to build our platform and get us clicks. Okay? I mean, that thesis, come on. Seriously? but I do debates so that they will be valuable 20, 25, 30 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And not the flash in the pan stuff right now. So that's why we chose to do this. So that's going to be October 17th. It's going to be in Gilbert, Arizona at Redeemer Bible Church. I'm really excited about that. And obviously on the dividing line, I'm going to be talking a lot about that kind of stuff as I dive into all this stuff and do the preparation.
I think that the debate that you did with Patrick Madrid on the veneration of saints, their images and relics, was one of the most important debates that you did.
Well, yeah. And I still have a twitch from when the moderator slammed that gavel down and scared Patrick Madrid and I to death.
Yes, I love Bill, and he just actually sent a very generous gift to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio yesterday. And by the way, to also plug an event that involves the same Eastern Orthodox individual that you're debating, my new friend, Samuel Farag, who
yes.
former Oriental Orthodox, who is now a Reformed Baptist pastor, he will be debating Truglia, Craig Truglia, right?
Truglia.
He will be debating him on Mary. I don't know if they're going to be more succinct and precise about what exactly they're debating about Mary, but that will be held on May 16th, God willing, in Syracuse, New York, and they've asked me to be the host and moderator, so that should be fun.
I would be very careful with your opening statements, brother.
you always say that to me.
I'm not sure you have the self-restraint to listen to me, but you could ruin the entire thing before it actually starts, which is not a good thing.
Oh, and by the way, another friend of yours, Jeremiah Nortier, he will be having a two-day debate on my show, March 19th and 20th. Thursday and Friday, March 19th and 20th, he is debating Church of Christ minister and apologist Jack Wilkie on is water baptism essential for salvation? And Jack is a really intelligent young guy, very gifted young guy. He's actually written a blog about a lot of things where I am 100% on the same page as he is. Just thinking that he's very seriously wrong, obviously, on this issue and others that pertain to the very typical Church of Christ belief and practice. But that should be a fun debate. I've never hosted a debate on that specific theme before, so it should be fun.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it'll be very in-depth. That's Jeremiah's strong suit, that area. I think if someone asked me to do that, I'd say, now get Jeremiah Mortier. He is the next generation, and he is doing a lot of debates. I mean, on atheism, on Church of Christ. He's, you know, taking on Leighton Flowers. And so I'm so thankful for Eli and Jeremiah and all these guys that are coming up, Westhoff, all these guys that are coming up that, you know, us old guys are slowing down and they're getting revved up. So I'm excited about that.
And on top of that, I know for a fact that you will no longer be debating Leighton Flowers because you've made it very clear, please don't bring me flowers anymore.
Well, I didn't put it that way. No, you are exactly right. After the second debate we did, I told a friend of mine who was with me there in Houston at the Lutheran church where we had the debate. We were walking over to where I was going to be greeting folks, and I said, Rudy, if you ever hear me ever again suggesting that I would be open to debating Leighton Flowers, I want you to punch me in the face, straight up. And I told Rich Pierce the same thing, and so I've got two people that I promised to punch me in the face if I ever expose myself to that waste of a time again.
By the way, we have to go to a very much more brief final break, and don't go away, folks. We're going to be right back.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
And folks, please never forget that this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime dear friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco and Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And don't forget, folks, if you're a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next biannual free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon to be held on Thursday, March the 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring for the second time as a keynote speaker my longtime dear friend, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and planter of Reformed Baptist churches all over the African continent, founding chancellor of African Christian University. If you'd like to attend this event, not only is it free, but everyone who is in attendance will receive a heavy sack and possibly two heavy sacks of free, brand new books personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. Send me an email to register to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Dr. Mbewe will also be preaching the night before the Pastor's Luncheon at the church where I'm a member, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle. That's Wednesday, March 4th at 7 p.m. For details on how to get to Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, go to trbccarlisle.org, trbccarlisle.org. And we have a listener. Where is it? Kirk in Dawsonville, Georgia. Hey, Chris, my question for Dr. White has to do with a Mormon that I had a conversation with who claimed that Brigham Young corrupted the Latter-day Saint Church and that all their post-prophets were wrong and that Joseph Smith didn't teach Jesus was a spirit brother. We could become mini-gods. In other commonly held Mormon doctrine. So I was curious if this is a normal situation or an outlier, and if so, how should I respond to him? Blessings. Isn't that the basically the view of what used to be called the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, now called the Community of Christ?
Well, first of all, congratulations on getting a real speaker for the luncheon. I struggled a few times on that one, but that's good. That'll be great. Secondly, I have a feeling what he's referring to actually is not that stuff at all. What he's referring to is something I've only become aware of fairly recently myself. It's the New Mormonism, and it's flowing out of a guy named Blake Osler, who is a LDS philosopher, but he fundamentally rejects the vast majority of the development of LDS theology. He said that Brigham Young was a disaster for the Mormon Church. And he's not a Mormon, okay? I mean, he is viewed as a Mormon, but what he's doing would fundamentally require a complete redefinition of all of LDS theology, temple ceremonies, everything. And it just seems like he's gaining traction amongst younger Mormons. And I have a feeling that's probably what the person who's written in is referring to, is someone who's bought into the Blake Osler stuff. And I mean, that's still a very minority perspective, and it's certainly not representative of the leadership of the church by any stretch of the imagination. I could go into a whole lot more on this. Who you should have on, honestly, Chris, you take a note of it. Have you ever had Aaron Shavafaloff on?
No, but I've had shalafaloff at the local Pakistani restaurant, and it was delicious. But no.
Yes. I'm sure he would be a delicious guest as well.
Okay.
But Aaron works with Mormonism Research Ministry up in Utah, and he would be an excellent person to have on to talk about the New Mormonism, Blake Osler, and the simple reality that Mormonism is coming undone.
You know, I wanted to invite him on the show, actually, when I heard you mention him on The Dividing Line, and I would love to get his contact information.
Yeah, well, get in touch with me so I can, because fascinating developments that could only happen as the church is literally coming apart. I think it really is. The range of perspectives now being expressed under the rubric of Mormonism is getting incredibly wide. And it makes it much more difficult to prepare people to talk to Mormons, because what kind of Mormon are you going to be talking to? When you don't even know who God is any longer within Mormonism, it's amazing. I remember a guy years and years, decades ago, we were standing at the southeast corner of Temple Square in Salt Lake City during General Conference. And he was an old Mormon fellow, but he was not in fellowship with the church. He pointed up at where Moroni was, up on the temple, Moroni that fell off during the earthquake. And he says, within 20 years, there'll be a cross up there. Now, that didn't happen. But what he was saying was he saw the changes, and he was exactly right. And I've never forgotten that guy. But yeah, I imagine that's what the person who's written in is referring to.
Yes, and it is true, however, that the Reorganized LDS do reject Brigham Young.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, of course, because they went to Utah, but this is different.
Right.
This is more of a much more modern movement that has much more connection to the historical LDS church, but fundamentally is saying it went astray because of Brigham Young.
Ted in Moundsville, Alabama. Sorry, we don't have time to read your question. If Dr. White comes on in the near future, we'll see if we could read that to him. Thank you so much for squeezing time into your really busy schedule, and I'm not being flattering or using hyperbole. I know that you are a busy brother, And I thank you for coming on the show. And folks, if you don't already know, which is unlikely, but just in case you don't, Dr. White's website is aomin.org, aomin.org. Thank you so much, brother. And I want to thank everybody who listened to the program today. I want all of you to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.